Okie doke, you already know who it is, or what it is. Let's do Gram negative bugs. Okay, starting with Neisseria, you know you love her. She is a Gram negative diplococci, metabolizes glucose, and produces IgA proteases, contains lipopolysaccharide, which increases exotoxin, or it is an exotoxin. She lives intracellular within neutrophils. And then there's three different types. There is, sorry that I keep like toggling with this. It's really loud in my ear and it's really starting to hurt. Okay, I fixed it. Boom, boom. Okay. Sorry. Neisseria is intracellular within neutrophils. Intracellular in neutrophils. Neisseria neutrophils. There are three types. There is gonococcal, there is meningococcal, and there is, I lied, there's two. Okay, first, gonococcal, Neisseria, there is no capsule, no maltose acid secretion, and no vaccine. Antigen, because there is antigenic variation of the pilus or pili proteins. Gonococcal Neisseria is a STI, she's gonorrhea, so disease, gonorrhea, septic arthritis, neonate conjunctivitis. Neonate conjunctivitis for Neisseria is 2 to 5 days post-birth. Other diseases, PID and Fitzhugh Curtis. Fitzhugh Curtis is more of a complication of PID, though. Diagnose gonococcal Neisseria with NAT. Prevent it with condoms, prevent the neonate conjunctivitis with erythro-eye ointment and neonates, treat it, IM ceftriaxone plus doxy if there's a chlamydial co-infection, but pretty much we just do it anyways for fun. And then the second type is meningococcal Neisseria. This does have a polysaccharide capsule, and that is why we can make vaccines for it. It does do maltose acid detection. It is spread via respiratory drops and oral secretions, so it is associated with close quarters, like college. We had to get it before we went to college. Disease, it causes meningococcemia. I don't know how to say that, with petechial hemorrhage and toe gangrene and meningitis and Waterhouse-Friedreich syndrome. Diagnose it with a culture or PCR, prophylaxis for meningococcal meningitis is rifampin, ciprofloxacin, ceftriaxone. I don't know why I said that so oddly. Okay, so that's the prophylaxis. The actual just plain treatment is ceftriaxone or penicillin G. Next is Haemophilus influenzae. Haemophilus influenza is small gram-negative coccolobacilli. They produce IgA protease. They grow on chocolate agar, not sheep's blood agar, chocolate agar. And it transmits via respiratory drops. Disease, if it is non-typable, aka there is no capsule, this does mucosal infections like otitis media, conjunctivitis, bronchitis, epiglottitis, which is thumbprint, meningitis, pneumonia. And then vaccine contains type B capsular polysaccharide conjugated to the diphtheria toxin or diphtheria toxoid. You give it at 2 to 18 months. And then, so I think, so we taught the non-typable, the no capsule is mucosal infections, otitis media, conjunctivitis, and bronchitis. I think whereas the typable is HIB, the B serotype, and it causes epiglottitis, meningitis, and pneumonia. And in epiglottitis, you get the thumbprint sign on x-ray or whatever, because they're epiglottis. Because they're cherry red epiglottis. Okay, and then, so one more time, the vaccine contains type B capsular polysaccharide conjugated to the diphtheria toxoid. We give it a 2 to 18 months. Treatment for Haemophilus influenza, you give amoxicillin plus or minus clavulanate. For mucosal things, if it's meningitis, you give ceftriaxone. If you need prophylaxis, you give rifampin. Nice. Okay, next is Burkholderia capacia complex. Micro, it is aerobic, catalase positive, gram negative rod disease. It causes pneumonia in patients with underlying lung diseases, for example, CF. It is often multi-drug resistant. If the CF patient has this Burkholderia, oh my God, capacia, they can't get a lung transplant. Bordetella pertussis is next. Bordetella pertussis, micro, gram negative, aerobic, coccolobacilli, virulence factors. It has pertussis toxin. Pertussis toxin disables GI or G inhibitory. This increases CAMP. It acts as if it is stimulating GS. So it increases CAMP, which increases. So pertussis toxin, it disables GI. This causes an increase in CAMP, and it secretes tracheal cytotoxin. Tracheal cytotoxin destroys respiratory epithelium. Pertussis produces within lymphocytes, or it produces lymphocytosis. Okay, It produces lymphocytosis. Bordetella pertussis produces lymphocytosis. There are three stages to Bordetella pertussis. Catarrhal, which is low fever and coryza. Next is paroxysmal. This is paroxysms of cough, followed by a whoop or post-tussive vomiting. The third is the convalescent phase, and this is gradual recovery. Treatment, you prevent this with Tdap. Duh. Tdap in teens and adults. Tdap. And then Dtap, Dtap in the kids. Treat it with macrolides or TMPXMX. Next is Brucella. Brucella is a gram-negative aerobe coccolobacillus. It transmits via animal products like unpasteurized milk. It survives inside of macrophages and can form caseating granulomas. Signs and symptoms of Brucella is undulant fever, night sweats, arthralgias. Treat it with doxy and rifampin or streptomycin. Next is Legionella pneumophila. Micro, gram-negative, silver stain, charcoal yeast with iron and cysteine. And then detection with urine antigen because the culturing takes too long. It does aerosol transmission from water. Signs and symptoms, low sodium, high AST/ALT. Treat it with a macrolide or a quinolone. Legionnaire's disease is severe pneumonia. It is unilateral and lobar. Fever, GI upset, CNS signs and symptoms. Risk factors for Legionnaire's disease, old, lung disease, smoker. And then there's Pontiac fever. Pontiac fever is mild and flu-like. Next is P. aeruginosa. P. aeruginosa, or grape-smelling bacteria or whatever. Micro, it's aerobic, motile, catalase positive, gram-negative, rod. It is non-lactose fermenting. It is oxidase positive. It is frequent in the water. It has a lot of virulence factors in acidic environments, or increased virulence in acidic environment. Sorry. God damn, that hurt. Okay, virulence factors is PEEP, P-E-E-P. P, phospholipase C, which degrades the cell membrane. E, endotoxin, that causes fever and shock. E, again, is exotoxin A. This causes elongation factor inactivation. And then P, the last P, is green pigment. She, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, has a mucoid polysaccharide capsule. This causes chronic pneumonia in CF patients due to the formation of biofilms. So I like to think about the sketchy. I, like, put a little, like, peep in her hand, like a little marshmallow peep. And then disease that P. aeruginosa causes, pneumonia, sepsis, ecthymia gangrenosum. I don't know how to say that right. I think it's ecthyma gangrenosum. UTIs, diabetes. I don't think she causes it. I think that's a risk factor. Osteomyelitis, otitis externa, a.k.a. swimmer's ear. Nosocomial infections, like with catheters. You see it in IV drug users. In the skin, it's hot tub folliculitis. You see it in burn patients. We get corneal ulcers / keratitis in contact lens wearers. Oh, yeah, and ecthyma gangrenosum is a rapidly progressing necrotic cutaneous skin lesion in the immunocompromised. Treat Pseudomonas aeruginosa with piperacillin tazobactam. You can also treat it with third and fourth generation cephalosporins, which is ceftazidime and cefepime. You can treat it with monobactams, fluoroquinolones, carbapenems, but you want to avoid aminoglycosides because aminoglycosides have poor performance in acidic environments, and Miss Pseudomonas is the opposite. She loves acid. Next is Salmonella typhi. Salmonella typhi is a gram-negative rod, non-lactose fermenting, oxidase negative. It invades, Oh, the GI tract via, cells in the Peyer's patches. Okay, so she invades the GI via the Peyer's patches. Micro, it is humans only via heme spread. It is sulfur H2S positive, so it, like, grows, I think that one is it grows, like, black on some kind of agar, like a, probably a fucking hydrogen sulfide agar. Antibiotics in Salmonella typhi prolong fecal excretion, so that is why we do not give it, especially because it's self-limiting. And then monocyte reaction. I just put monocyte reaction as well under micro. Virulence factors for Salmonella typhi. It has a flagella, endotoxin, VI capsule. It has a very high infectious dose, which means you have to eat a lot of that shit to get sick. And it is acid label, which means your stomach destroys it, and that's why it has such a high infectious dose. Next are diseases. Diseases by Salmonella are constipation followed by diarrhea. Typhoid fever. Typhoid fever does salmon-colored truncal macular rash, abdominal pain, fever with later GI ulcers and hemorrhaging. A carrier state does exist in the gallbladder. It colonizes the gallbladder. And I think it can increase the risk of gallbladder cancer, if I'm correct. Vaccines for Salmonella typhi. We do oral live attenuated vaccine. IM vaccine has the VI capsular polysaccharide. Treatment for Salmonella is ceftriaxone fluoroquinolones. And then we have other Salmonella species, which are just like all except for typhi. For example, I don't know. I think it's also called, like, Salmonella enteritis. Like, that's the species. Like, that's the group of them. Gram-negative rod, non-lactose fermenting, oxidase negative, invades the GI via M-cells and the Peyer's patches. So, same gist. Micro, humans and animals, H2S positive, motile, endotoxin, high infectious dose, antibody prolongs excretion, polymorphic PMN, whatever, in disseminated disease, PMNs in disseminated disease. I don't know what poly, it like stands for a long thing. It's just neutrophils. It's just like hypersegmented neutrophils. Anyways, disease by the Salmonella species is diarrhea plus or minus blood. There is no vaccine. We just are supportive in our treatment. You find this in poultry, eggs, pets, turtles. Those are the sources. And then in order of decreasing severity, which means less toxin produced. It's S. dysenteriae, S. flexneri, S. boidi, and S. soni. So decreasing severity, which makes sense because dysentery is fucking bad. Okay, next is Shigella. Shigella is a gram-negative rod. It is non-lactose fermenting, oxidase negative. It invades the GI tract via M cells and Peyer's patches. This is key in Shigella, I guess. Micro, it is in humans only. It's cell-to-cell transmission, aka there is no heme transmission. It is H2S negative. That's the gag between Salmonella and Shigella. Shigella is H2S negative. It is non-motile. It has endotoxin and shigatoxin, which is an enterotoxin. Shigella has a very low infectious dose, and it is acid-stable. Antibiotics shortens excretion. So we do give antibiotics. I am in infiltrate. I don't know what that means. There's no vaccine for Shigella disease. It causes crampy abdominal pain, tenesmus, bloody mucoid stool. That ass. And we use the four F's for Shigella, I guess, which is fingers, flies, food, and feces. And those are the transmission routes, I suppose. Next is Yersinia enterocolitica. Yersinia enterocolitica is gram-negative pleomorphic rod / coclobaxis with bipolar staining. This is via pet feces, contaminated milk, or pork. Disease, it causes acute bloody diarrhea, pseudoappendicitis, and reactive arthritis as well. That's the plague. Yersinia enterocolitis is the plague. Or Yersinia pestis. I lied. I think it's Yersinia pestis. Don't fucking listen to me. I should shut up. Lactose fermenting enteric bacteria. We're about to talk about them. So this means they ferment lactose. It forms pink colonies on McConkie agar. Examples of it is Citrobacter, E. coli, Enterobacter, Klebsiella, and Serratia. They remember it by McCaukeeks milk, CEEKS for Citrobacter, E. coli, Enterobacter, and Klebsiella, and Serratia. And then EMB agar. In EMB agar, the lactose fermenters grow as purple/black colonies. And E. coli grows colonies with a green sheen to them. Okay, so talking about E. coli. This is gram-negative, indole positive, and it is a rod. It forms the normal colon biota. But Bacillus fragilis is more common than E. coli in our colon. Virulence factors, it has fimbriae/pili. This causes cystitis and pyelonephritis. It has a K capsule that causes pneumonia and neonate meningitis. And it also has an LPS endotoxin that causes septic shock. There are four types. There is EIEC, which is enteroinvasive E. coli. This invades enterocytes, causing necrosis and inflammation, leading to dysentery. ETEC, which is enterotoxic E. coli. This is heat label and stable enterotoxin. There is no inflammation or invasion. It is watery traveler's diarrhea. Next is EPEC. I don't know what the P stands for. This has no toxin. It adheres to the apical surface. It causes flattened villi and it prevents absorption. This is pediatric diarrhea. Oh, the P probably stands for pediatric. Maybe. And then EHEC 0157H7. That's the most common in the US. EHEC's the bad one. She's the dangerous one. It's, you get it via uncooked meat or veggies. This produces shigatoxin, which causes hemolytic uremic syndrome, which is a triad of anemia, thrombocytopenia, and acute kidney injury. EHEC causes dysentery because it causes necrosis and inflammation. It is not a sorbitol fermenter. So, and they remember it by the three H's, hamburgers, hemorrhage, and HUS. Next is Klebsiella. Klebsiella is a gram-negative rod. It is intestinal microbiota. It forms mucoid colonies with abundant polysaccharide capsules. So they're like mucoid-like because they have abundant polysaccharide capsule. You get current jelly sputum. Diseases, nosocomial UTIs. It's associated with multidrug resistance. You can also get lobar pneumonia in immunocomp and alcoholics. Next is C.J. Juni. C.J. Juni is gram-negative, / S-shaped with polar flagella. C.J. Juni is oxidase-positive, and it grows at 42 degrees Celsius because camp likes it hot. Fecal oral transmission, disease, bloody diarrhea, especially in kids. Complications is Guillain-Barré syndrome and reactive arthritis. Next is Proteus mirabilis. Proteus mirabilis is gram-negative, urease-positive. It is a facultative anaerobe, and it has swarming motility. She does UTIs. Virulence factors for Proteus mirabilis is it is urease. It has urease. Urease hydrolyzes urea into CO2 and ammonium. This increases pH, which promotes the formation of struvite stones, causing kidney blockages. Struvite stones are known as staghorn stones. Next is Vibrio cholera. This is comma-shaped with a flagella. Micro, it is gram-negative, motile, oxidase-positive. It grows in alkaline environments. It is endemic to developing countries. It is acid labile, remember, because she grows in the alkaline. She is acid labile. It has a high infectious dose, so that's good. Virulence factors, it produces enterotoxin, which permanently activates G stimulatory or GS, increasing camp, and that's what makes the watery diarrhea. And it is acid labile, like we said. Disease is from infected water or raw shellfish. It causes profuse rice water diarrhea, and the rice is mucus. Treat it with rehydration, aggressive rehydration. Next is Vibrio vulnificus. Vibrio vulnificus is a gram-negative bacillus disease. It is in marine environments, severe wound infections and septicemia, cellulitis, necrotizing fasciitis, especially in patients with a high serum iron, like cirrhosis patients or hemochromatosis patients. Treatment with surgical debridement. Debridement, whatever. Okay, so remember, Vibrio vulnificus is marine environments, severe wound infection, septicemia that leads to cellulitis and necrotizing fasciitis. Okay, next is H. pylori. H. pylori is a curved flagella, motile, gram-negative rod. It is triple positive, so it is catalase positive, oxidase positive, and urease positive. You're going to get a urea breath test, or fecal antigen test to, diagnose it. So the urea produces ammonium, which creates the alkaline environment that helps H. pylori survive in the acidic mucosa of the tummy. Disease, it causes gastric and peptic ulcers, and most commonly, it is in the stomach antrum and the duodenum. Antrum for ouchie. And then risk factors, or H. pylori infection is a risk factor for gastric adenocarcinoma, as well as MALT lymphoma. Treatment, you do triple therapy. It's amoxicillin. But if they have a PCN allergy, you do metronidazole. The next is clarithromycin, and then you also add on a PPI. If it is macrolide resistant, you add a bismuth-based treatment as well. And the bismuth one, like, promotes the mucus. Like, it's like a Band-Aid, pretty much. Spirochetes are spiral-shaped with axial filaments. Spirochetes include Leptospira, Treponema, and Borrelia. Borrelia, you stain it with alanine dye, which is going to be Wright dye or Giemsa, plus add light microscopy. You look at it under light microscopy. Treponema, you do dark field or direct fluorescent antibody. Gerish Herxheimer reaction is flu-like signs and symptoms. Oh, and it's in spirochetes. In spirochetes, you can get the Gerish Herxheimer reaction, which is flu-like signs and symptoms after the antibiotics are started, and that is due to the host response causing sudden antigen release. Okay, so Lyme disease. We're almost done, guys. Push through. Lyme disease is caused by Borrelia burgdorferi. It is via the Ixodes deer tick. Ixodes. Ixodes. I don't know. Disease. It is from the deer tick on mouse or deers in the northeast U.S. Stage 1 is localized. You get a bullseye rash. This is known as erythema migrans. You also get flu-like signs and symptoms. Stage 2 is early disseminated. You're going to get secondary lesions, carditis, AV block, Bell's palsy, migratory myalgias, or transient arthritis. Stage 3 is late disseminated. You get encephalopathy, chronic arthritis, and peripheral neuropathy. Treat Lyme disease with doxycycline. If the patient is pregnant or under 8 years old, you give them amoxicillin. If IV treatment is needed, that's going to be ceftriaxone. Next is Leptospira enterogens. Leptospira enterogens is a spirochete with hook shape. Disease, it is from water with animal urine in it. So this is leptospirosis. It's flu-like signs and symptoms, myalgias, classically in the calves, jaundice, photosensitive with conjunctival effusion or suffusion, which that just means, what? With conjunctival suffusion, okay. So that just means a red eye without exudate. You see this in surfers and in tropics. It can also cause wheal disease, which is icterohemorrhagic leptospirosis. It's a severe form of jaundice, azotemia, which means liver and kidney dysfunction, fever, hemorrhage, anemia. Next is syphilis or Treponema pallidum. We treat her with penicillin G. And then I'm going to talk about the 3 like stages, technically 4 types. And then in latent syphilis, you get a positive serology even if the patient doesn't have symptoms. Okay, so primary syphilis, it is a local painless canker or chancre. I don't know how people say it. You're going to do VDRL positive on fluorescence or dark stain, dark field microscopy on the canker fluid. So you take the chancre fluid and then you look at it. Next is disseminated or constitutional. So this has constitutional signs and symptoms, a maculopapular rash, condylotum lata, lymphadenopathy, patchy hair loss as well. You're going to get non-specific positive VDRL/RPR. And then you can get a very specific FTA antibody test or assay. Tertiary syphilis is gummas. These are chronic granulomas. You also have aortitis, which is due to vasovasorum damage. You get neurosyphilis, which is Tabes dorsalis, causing general paresis. You get Argyle-Robertson pupils, which is it constricts with accommodation, but it is not reactive to light. Then broad-based ataxia, a positive Romberg test, Charcot joints, strokes without hypertension. So a stroke in a patient without hypertension. And then the fourth type of syphilis is congenital syphilis. This causes facial anomalies like, it's called, I'll try to say it, Rhagades, R-H-A-G-A-D-E-S. These are linear scars at the mouth angles, like at the corners of your mouth. Also in congenital syphilis are the snuffles, which is nasal discharge, saddle nose, Hutcherson or Hutchinson teeth, which is like notching of the teeth, mulberry, molars, short maxilla, saber shins, cranial nerve 8 deafness. You have to treat the mother with penicillin G before the second trimester. Things that can provide false positives on VDRL, pregnancy, viral infections like hepatitis and EBV, drugs like chlorpromazine, clopromazine, or procainamide, rheumatic fever, rarely, and then lupus because it has anti-cardiolipin antibody, as well as leprosy. And you can use the like memory aid false positive on VDRL. So false positive, positive for pregnancy, V, viral infection, D, drugs, R, rheumatic fever, and L, lupus. So the VDRL plus RPR detects the non-specific antibody that reacts with beef cardiolipin. That's why we can get the lupus. And revert to negative post-treatment. Deadass. Okay. And then we have FTA antibody or TP-PA. These are specific antibody tests. Okay, next is chlamydia is, so the micro, it's obligate intracellular because it can't make its own ATP. Cell wall lacks peptidoglycan, which is due to the reduced muriatic acid. Beta-lactam antibiotics do not work on chlamydia. So there are two different bodies. There are elementary bodies. They're small and dense, and they are responsible for entry into the cell. And then there's the reticulate body, which replicates in the cell, and it reorganizes into elementary bodies. So E, elementary, enters. Reticulate, replicates. Next is C, Chlamydia trachomatis. This is neonate and follicular adult conjunctivitis, non-gonococcal urethritis, PID, and reactive arthritis. Then you can also have chlamydia pneumonia or chlamydia pistaci, which BT dubs. The pistaci one is an avian reservoir. This causes atypical pneumonia, and it is transmitted aerosolized transmission. Diagnose it with a PCR NAT. See the reticulate bodies on GMSA or fluorescent antibody. Treat chlamydia with doxy. If they are pregnant, give them azithromycin. If they also have gonorrhea, you want to give them IV ceftriaxone. The serotypes for chlamydia, this is important. ABC equals chronic infection. Blindness due to follicular conjunctivitis in resource-limited areas. And they remember this by A, B, C serotypes, Africa, blind, and chronic. Then we have serotypes D through K. This causes urethritis, PID, ectopic pregnancy, neonate pneumonia, which is a staccato cough, with eosinophilia. So neonate pneumonia with eosinophilia, as well as neonate conjunctivitis, which this type of neonate conjunctivitis happens 1 to 2 weeks post-birth. Lastly, we have the L1, 2, and 3 serotypes. These cause lymphogranulomum venerum. These are small, painless genital ulcers with painful inguinal lymphadenopathy. If the painful lymphadenopathy ulcerates, that is called a bubo. Next, our last our last gram negative is Gardnerella vaginalis. Are we sure she's gram negative? It says pleomorphic. I'm gonna Google this shit real quick. Literally in five literal seconds, I'm gonna do is Gardner, because I'm bad at writing. I might have just written it wrong. Oh, it's gram variable. Great. So it is a pleomorphic rod. It vaginal overgrowth due to decreased lactobacilli. That's where Gardnerella vaginalis thrives. We get clue cells, which are vaginal epithelium covered in bacteria. This provides a stippled appearance on the outer margin. You're going to get a positive whiff test with KOH amine. It is a fishy smell. The vaginal pH is going to be over 4.5. You treat Gardnerella vaginalis with metronidazole or clindamycin. Disease caused by Gardnerella vaginalis. It is not an STI, but it is associated with sex. So it's called bacterial vaginosis, or it causes bacterial vaginosis, which is gray vaginal discharge, non-painful, with a fishy smell. And then for the hell of it, I'm going to tack on the zoonotic ones, because I'm crazy. So the zoonotic bacteria, zoonosis means infectious disease transmitted from animal to human. So we have our Anaplasma species, disease anaplasmosis, transmitted by Ixodes tick on deer and mice. Next is Bartonella. This is cat scratch fever or bacillary angiomatosis, and it is due to cat scratches. Then there's Borrelia burgdorferi. This is Lyme disease. It's also by the Ixodes tick. Then we have Borrelia recurrentis, which is relapsing fever, and it is due to a louse, and it is recurrent due to the variable surface antigens. Next is the Brucella species. This causes bruceliosis. It is an undulating fever. We find it in unpasteurized dairy, inhalation, or of contact with infected animal tissue or fluids. Next is Campylobacter, causes bloody diarrhea. Feces from infected pets, animals, or contaminated meats, foods, hands. Next is Chlamydia pistaci. This causes pizzicosis. It is in parrots and other birds. Next is Coxiella burnetti. This is Q fever. It is aerosols of cattle/sheep's amniotic fluid. That's fucking nasty. I didn't know that. It's their fucking amniotic fluid. I'm sorry. That's the only blood born not out of violence. Next is Ehrlichia chiffinensis. I don't know. Ehrlichiosis. This is due to ambilimoma. Lone star tick. Next is tularemia. Franciella tularensis. Tularemia. Ticks, rabbits, dogs, deer, flies. Ticks, rabbits, deer, flies. Not the dogs. Next is Leptospira species. This is leptospirosis. This is animal urine. Mycobacterium leprae, leprosy. Humans with lepromatous leprosy and armadillos carry it. Pastorella multocida. This causes cellulitis or osteomyelitis. Dog bites, cat bites, animal bites in general is Pastorella multocida. Next is Rickettsia prowazekii. Rickettsia prowazekii is an epidemic typhus. It is human to human via the body louse. Next is Rickettsia rickettsii. This is Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and it is via the Derma centaur, which is the dog tick. Next is Rickettsia typhi, which is endemic typhus, and this is spread by fleas. Next is Salmonella species, excluding Salmonella typhi. This causes diarrhea, which can be bloody, vomiting, fever, abdominal cramps. It is in reptiles and poultry. Lastly, we have Yersinia pestis, which causes the plague, and that is spread by fleas, and the rats and the prairie dogs are reservoirs for it. Okay, nice. Next, we're going to talk about rickettsial disease and mycology in the next episode. Okay, bye.